Well, it was about 6 months ago, 6 to 8 months ago, that my kids came in to up the stairs, and they were crying. My youngest was crying, and I obviously, as the sensitive father, knew that there was something wrong. I kind of assumed that his brother was bothering him and done something out there, and so I had gone to him, and I said, "Jordan, what's the matter? What's going on? Why are you crying? Why did you come in from outside crying?" And he said to me, he said that there's this kid. We live in a complex, and there's this kid, and I'm not going to tell you his real name, but we'll call him Adam this morning. Adam was out there, and he was being a bully. And so I said, "Whoa, well, what happened?" Well, we were playing soccer, and it was fun. And then we turned the game into tackle soccer, as only boys can do. And I said, "Okay, that's fine, that's fun." But then stuff got carried away, and he started punching and hitting my youngest son. And so he came in crying. And what you need to know about Adam is that Adam is not 10 like my son is 10. He's 13, and he's probably double the size of my son. And so as any father would, you start thinking, what should I do? What do I do as a father? Do I just console my son, hope that he goes away? What exactly do I do? And so I went out and I decided, I said, "Okay, guys, you wait here. I'm going to go talk with Adam." So I went out to find Adam, and I saw him there in the courtyard. And I said to him, I said, "Adam, can I talk to you for a minute?" Crack my knuckles. No, I'm just kidding. I said, "Adam, can I talk to you for a minute?" And he said, "Sure." And I said to him, I said, "Adam, you know, Jordan came in, he was crying, and he said this, 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 and this. And is that true? Is that what happened?" And he said, he hung his head and kind of said, "Yeah, that's what happened." And I said, "You know, I know my kids are boys. I know they're not perfect. I know they kind of get, you know, carried away sometimes. I get that. I understand that. And I don't mind, you know, sometimes they get tussling a bit. That's okay." I said, "But when you're twice the size of my son and you're older than my son, he's unable to defend himself. And I'm his dad. So I'm his protector." And so I just said to him, I said, "Do you understand that? That I'm his protector. When he can no longer defend himself, I defend him." And I said, so you need to know that, because if this carries on, we got to take this to the next level, which means we got to go talk to your parents. And so I said, "Do you understand that? Because I don't want you bullying my son anymore." He looked at me with his big eyes and said, "Yes, I understand that." I said, "Okay, because I think you're a good kid, but you just got carried away. You cannot do that anymore." And so we did. And as I went back, I thought, you know, as a father, you have to respond to certain situations. You have to do things, not because always you want to, but because that's who you are. You do, as you know, you do. When you know who you are, you know what to do. If you're a doctor and you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you see someone clutching their heart and they fall to the ground, what do you do? Well, you run over and you help and you see what you can do in that situation. And it, because you know who you are. I'm a doctor. You don't just sort of walk by and say, "Well, guess we'll see that person in the emergency room." No, you run over and you try to help where you can help. If you're a police officer and maybe you just got off 5 minutes ago and you're walking down the street going home and all of a sudden you see coming towards you this lady, she's holding her bag, and this guy running behind him grabs the bag and starts taking off. What do? Well, you do something. You jump in, you chase the guy, you do something because of who you are. And when we know who we are, we know what to do. We know how to act. And I think a lot of times as Christians, as believers in Christ, we can kind of get confused and not really always know who we are. And as a result, maybe not always know what to do. And I think at times we can kind of get one foot in sort of this believer world and kind of trying to work out and live in and knowing what to do. But then we're also kind of pulled in this other direction of living in an unbelieving world. And we're sort of pulled in that. We kind of know how to act and what to do in that sort of here. And then we kind of can get confused because we really don't know who we are. And so for this morning and for the next few weeks, I'd like to address this very thing. That who we are in Christ, who you are as a believer in Christ. And over the next few weeks, we're not going to hit, obviously, everything, because there is many, 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 many things that we are as a result of our faith in Christ. But, and I know that this, probably over the next few weeks, will just begin to barely scratch the surface of this whole topic. But I think it's a very good start. And today we're going to talk about the fact that you and I, if you are a believer in Christ, are an ambassador. Next week we're going to talk about you and I, whether we like to think of it or not, are a masterpiece. And the week after that, we want to talk about that you and I are salt and light. And after that, that we are overcomers and that we are disciples of Christ. But today we're going to talk about the fact that you and I, as believers in Christ, are ambassadors. And I'd like it if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. If you don't have your Bible, don't worry, it's on the screen right behind me. It says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let's pray. Lord, this morning we come to you. And God, we thank you for your word again this morning. Lord, we came last week and we said, God, would you speak to us? And we're here again this morning. And God, we say, would you speak to us? Father, I pray that this morning you would just give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And the things in our lives, God, that you want to change and that you want to redirect, God, we just want to allow you to do that. And Father, we want to open ourselves up to receive from you today everything that you would have for us. And so, God, we just we look for that. And we say, speak, Lord, because your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage here in 2 Corinthians begins by saying some things. It begins by saying that if anyone is in Christ, or in other words, if you are a Christian, if you believe that Christ, and you've accepted Christ's death on the cross as a payment for your sin, if you believe in that, you, whoever is in Christ, whoever is a Christian, that you are now a new creation. You're not the same anymore. All of your sin has been wiped away. God has completely forgiven. And he has created you to be something new. You are a part of his family. You are now a child of God. And the Bible says that if you are this new creation, the old is gone. The old is gone. The old isn't just sort of standing there right beside you now as a new creation. The old is gone, it says. Who you once were is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It's like a caterpillar who has gone into its cocoon and come out a butterfly. It's no longer considered a caterpillar any longer. We even give it a new name so we don't get confused. My kids don't come in and say, "Hey, Dad, I just saw a flying caterpillar." No, they come and they tell me, say, "Dad, I saw a butterfly." But see, a lot of times we as Christians, we've been made new. We've been changed from this caterpillar to this butterfly. We've been given wings, so to speak, and yet we still crawl around on our little branch and our little leaf, and we eat our little leaves away, and we just sort of stay there. Instead of realizing this new creation, these new people that we are, like the butterfly with wings takes off from that place, from his cocoon, and no longer just is attached to this little branch and this little leaf. His whole world changes, and how he perceives, if he can perceive, the world changes. Everything changes. And when he understands who he is as a new butterfly, he acts different. He knows different. He just does different. And he knows what to do because he knows who he is. And when we begin to see who we are, our life begins to change. How we look at life, what we do in life, how we live. So you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It goes on to say that God has given you something. He's given you a ministry. He's given you the ministry of reconciliation. And if you've ever sort of sat in a church and you looked at people up here and you were playing and then you looked at other people leading small groups and you're not doing so much and you're wondering, God, where's my ministry? Well, here you go. God gave this to every single one of us. It is the ministry of reconciliation. That is one of your ministries as a new creation, the ministry of reconciliation. Essentially, that word means to put back together, to bring back together something that used to be put together, or used to be together. So like when Adam and Eve, and they sinned a long time ago, you remember we read at the beginning in Genesis, and it broke that relationship between man and God. And then you fast forward all the way to when Christ died on the cross, and now that relationship has been brought back together again. And you and I get to go and share this amazing news to people. It's part of the ministry of reconciliation. I mean, I was thinking about this and I thought, what is one of my favorite things when I get to go and tell people about? I thought, what would it be like if your job was you worked for Lotto 649 and you were the guy that went and called the winners? I mean, wouldn't that be just the greatest job, except that you'd probably only get paid $10 an hour, but wouldn't that be really exciting? You know, you'd call them and say, hey, is Steve there? Ooh, this is going to be good. This is Marcel. Say, yeah, who's Marcel? Well, I worked for Lotto 649. You just won $15 million. Wow! That would be an exciting kind of job. That would be a lot of fun, right? Or when you get something and you get something given to you and you can't wait to run home and tell your wife or your kids, oh, look what we got. This is amazing. Oh, this is, you know, and we get that ministry. To tell others. We get to tell other people about that our lives can be reconciled to God. And that's an amazing thing because that is so much more than $15 million from Lotto 649. That is an eternity of living in heaven with the creator of the universe and the one who sent his son to die. This is an amazing thing that you and I get to do. And God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He goes on to say, actually, who you are. I'm going to be honest, this is who you are. You are an ambassador. If we look at verse 20, it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, an ambassador, if you're wondering, well, what does that make me? What does that mean? If you're wondering kind of what an ambassador is, if I were to break it down really simply for you, it's this. An ambassador is someone that is sent from one country to another as a diplomat that represents the interests of the sending country. So if Stephen Harper came to you and said to you, you know, I would like you to be Canada's ambassador to Jamaica, and we would say, wow, that sounds like a good gig. That'd be great. And you would go and you would live in Jamaica as Canada's representative. Jamaica would not be your home, but you would live there. Now, it's not a holiday there. There is a reason that you are there. You are not there just to sit on the beach and sip drinks with little umbrellas in them. I mean, you may do that from time to time, but that's not why we're there. We're there with a reason and a purpose, to be Canada's ambassador. And the Bible says that is what you are. Now here, right, this is the first thing in your notes. You are an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. And when we know who we are, we'll know what to do. Who are you? You, my friend, like it or not, are an ambassador of God's kingdom, sent to your place, wherever you are right now. So if you're an employee of Starbucks, then you are God's ambassador to Starbucks. You are sent by God from heaven to Starbucks. If you have a family, you are God's ambassador to that family. If you are a student, you are sent by God from heaven to UBC, to Simon Fraser, to Argyle, to Windsor, to Sutherland. You, if you are a Christian, are an ambassador. Now, some of you may say, hold on just a minute. That's a great idea, nice thought, but, I mean, really, if you were to ask my friends if I was an ambassador, they would probably laugh. they would probably say, you are many things, but an ambassador you are not. Your life is messed up. You don't really know the Bible. You say stupid things. You do stupid things. You are not really, I would think, an ambassador. But the Bible says, if you're a believer of Christ, you're an ambassador. You have been given something, the ministry of reconciliation, and you are an ambassador. And there are some things that we need to understand about who we are as an ambassador. The first thing is this. I'm just going to go through two things as we kind of unpack this a little bit. But the first thing is this. You are not elected by people, but you were chosen and appointed by God. You are not elected by people, but you were chosen and appointed by God. Let's quickly look at John 15, 16, and 19. It says this. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And now skip down to verse 19. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. If you belong to the world, right? We've come from heaven now, right? Like we're sent by God from heaven to earth. So this earth is not our own. This isn't where we are. And as it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. See, this is not an election. You did not campaign for this position. You did not come and bring campaign promises. If elected as Christ's ambassador, I will do this and that and this. And then we would all watch you and wonder, I wonder if he's worthy of being the ambassador. And then, like a politician, we would all vote for you to be the ambassador of Christ. No, it doesn't work like that. You were chosen. You were appointed by God. Do you remember when you were a kid in elementary school? And it's changed a lot now, but I remember when I was a kid, they didn't have computers on their desks. And so they would sometimes write a message to the principal. They would write something down, and they'd fold it up on a piece of paper, and they would say, I need one of you boys and girls to go and deliver this message to the principal. Who would like to do that? And who would like to do that? Everyone wants to do that. And so they stick up their hand, me. Oh, could it be me, please? And sometimes I would get the call. And I'd say, okay, Marcel, come up here. And here's your message. I want you to take that to the principal's office. Oh, there was no happier day than being able to escape from that prison cell called the classroom for that brief moment. And so I would walk out of that classroom. And you would, did I hurry because I had been given a task? No. I walked as slow as I possibly could for a few reasons. One, I walked slow because that would take longer until I get class back to class. The other reason is that, as you know, you remember as you walked by, you could kind of see in other classrooms, and you would hope that maybe your friends would see you out in the hallway, and you're not in school anymore, and oh, well, that is a good feeling, right? I got a message. And you're walking, and then the other thing you want is at least for me, I want a vice principal or somebody really important to see me in the hallway and to stop me and to say, what are you doing in the hallway, young man? Oh, ha-ha. I got a message for the principal. And it's, oh, there's no greater feeling than an adult thinking they caught you. And then you having a good excuse and valid reason. And so off I would go to the principal's office to deliver this, stop at the washroom on the way back, look at some flowers, do a few things, finally make my way back to the classroom. But kind of the same way, you were chosen. You were chosen as an ambassador. And as we look at the life of Paul, who used to be called Saul, you know, he was one bad guy. He used to persecute Christians. He would imprison them. The first Christian martyr was named Stephen. And you'll notice that Stephen, he got stoned to death. And you'll notice as the story of Stephen getting stoned to death off in the corner, holding the jackets of all the guys who were stoning him, is this guy named Saul. Oh, let me hold your jacket for you, sir. Don't want your arm to, you know. Let me hold you. He's got all these jackets standing there. Mm-hmm. Let's get him. He's a bad guy. He's persecuting Christians. He's after them. He wants to kill them. He doesn't like them. He is everything that Christianity is. He's like the opposite of that. And he's on his way one day, and he's on the road, it says, on the road to Damascus. And God meets him there in an amazing way. And he just sort of reveals himself to this guy named Saul. So much so, he blinds Saul. And Saul is there left with his donkey as he was on his way to root out more Christians and persecute them more. This guy now is blind, sitting there, just understood who Christ really was. And in a town a little ways over, there's this guy named Ananias. And God is speaking to this guy. And he's saying, you know, Ananias, I need you to do me a little favor here. I want you to go and minister to this guy named Saul. What do you think Ananias says? And when he got up off the floor after laughing so hard, God's request that he would go and actually talk to this guy who was actually probably on his way to put him in prison. I mean, God, surely you've been duped. This guy doesn't think that. But he did. And you look in Acts 9:15. It says this, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. God chose Paul to be his ambassador to the Gentiles. Paul was not a good man. He was not nice. He was not a fine, outstanding Christian who had everything together. Matter of fact, as I said before, he was the exact opposite of all of that. But God chose him. If it was up to the believers to elect someone, it would not have been him. He would have been probably the furthest thing that they would even consider being an ambassador for Christ. But God chose him. And he chose you. You are God's chosen ambassador. Wherever you are at right now. And let that sink into your head and into your heart. Because when it goes from me telling you this to actually seeing yourself this way, or from your head to your heart, I believe, and I honestly have seen amazing things begin to happen. Amazing life change begins to take place. You are God's chosen instrument. You are God's chosen ambassador to the group of people that you're with right now, to your family, your work. You may not be the best, just like the teacher never always seemingly chose the smartest student or the best kid in the class. She just sort of chose somebody to take the note down to the principal. And we may not see ourselves as the best, but you are chosen. Now, I've got scared a lot of times in my life. Different things have come up. But one of the things that scares me the most is to stand before a group of people that I do not know and speak to them about something, like a sermon. If someone says, hey, that sounded nice on Sunday. You want to come share it at my church or something like that? And I would say, okay. But nothing really scares me more than that. Standing before a group of people. And the things that run through my mind at that time are, oh, this actually sounds kind of dumb. It's not very smart. It's kind of really simple. Are they going to like it? Are they going to like me? They're going to think I'm kind of fooled for standing up here and saying this stuff? What? And these are the thoughts that kind of run through my head. And at that moment, I kind of got to think in my mind. I said, yeah, listen, you may not be the smartest. Okay, I get that. And you may not be the best. But at this moment, at this place, you're chosen. You are God's messenger at this moment. And I need to remind myself of that. Because I get so nervous. I can get so worked up about this. They don't know me. They don't know what I'm really like. And then they might, you're God's chosen instrument to bring God's word at that moment. I may not be the best, but I'm chosen. I may not be the smartest, but I'm chosen for this moment. And where you are right now, you are God's chosen ambassador. But I'm not that smart. Doesn't matter. You're God's chosen ambassador. I don't have all my stuff together. Doesn't matter. You are God's ambassador. And as I said before, when that begins to move from our head to our heart, you'll begin to see radical change in how you live, how you respond, how you act. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. And I'll expand on that a little bit in a minute. The second thing we need to know, or rather need to know about being an ambassador, is this. That you never represent yourself, you always represent God. And if the government of Canada were to send you to sent you to Egypt as an ambassador, you would not be there to represent your own interests. Like, I decided that I would like to have free admission to all the pyramids. No. You are there to represent the interests of Canada. You have been sent by God from heaven to where you are as an ambassador. And we don't represent our own interests. We represent the interests of the government of the kingdom of God. We represent Christ. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not about us. Jesus was the ultimate example of an ambassador. And in John 6:38, he said this, For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. So what is, we have to ask, the interest of the government of the kingdom of God? Well, if we go back to our text, we see in verse 18 and 19, it says this. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. It is the message and the ministry of reconciliation. And as an ambassador of Christ, that's really what it's about. There are other things who we are, and there will be other things of things that are about. But this, as an ambassador of Christ, we have been given the message and ministry of reconciliation. In your complex, in your home, in your work, in your school. You know, one of the words as a Christian that I really hate that Christians use all the time is the word just. I hate the word just. A lot of times we use to throw that word around when we're thinking about who we are and we're kind of comparing ourselves to maybe Billy Graham. We say, well, I just work at McDonald's. I just am a mom. I just am a carpenter. Well, I'm just this. I hate that word, just. And I think we need to get rid of that word. And I want you to promise me you'll never use that word ever again. Because listen, what I said to Adam, no, just kidding. because you are not, some of you just getting that now. He was that bully at the beginning that I was talking. Because you are not just anything. You are an ambassador of the Most High God. And if I hear you say, I am just this or that, I will know one thing. I will know that you have not understood who you are. And the result you will often, and as a result, you will often not know what to do. When you get this in your heart, your life begins to change. Things that used to be accidents, chance meetings, now become appointments by God to minister reconciliation and to bring the message of hope and reconciliation. Whether it be in the lunchroom or on break while you study with other people. But we can only see that appointment if we see ourselves as ambassadors. You know, you're filling up your car one day and you see a guy pushing his car, just ran out of gas, maybe like me in a scooter, except I can push my scooter pretty easy. But if you're, you know, you see this guy and you don't just say, huh, sucks to be him, and off you go. No. As an ambassador, you look at life totally different. Whoa, I'm here to bring the message and ministry of reconciliation, a message of hope. Woof. Hey, buddy, can I help you push that in there? Because you see it now as an opportunity, as an appointment, that you're here to represent God. And it changes how you look at things. And it's a wonderful thing. And if you're an ambassador for another country, and this is kind of really what I wanted to say about this sort of last point, that you never represent yourself, but you always represent God, is that when you represent, if you're an ambassador sent somewhere, you have that entire country behind you as you bring the interests of that country to that situation. And you have the kingdom of God, so to speak, behind you as you bring this message and ministry to people. The first century church got this. They got it really well. Read the book of Acts. People, they're getting healed all over the place, getting delivered. People were getting raised from the dead. It was a crazy crazy place and situation. People were coming to Christ. It was an amazing thing. You see, you don't come on your own authority here. You didn't just make this up. You've been given this. Here you are. You are an ambassador, given the ministry and message of reconciliation. And you don't come on your own authority. You come in the authority of Christ because he is the one that sent you. Like when my youngest Jordan comes down to me and said, "Dad, Austin's bugging me. I asked him to stop. He won't." What do I say? Well, because I'm too lazy to get off the couch, I say, "Dad, tell him that Dad said stop." And what does he do? Runs upstairs. "Dad said stop." And what happens? He stops. Because he doesn't come. Maybe that's not your situation. But I rule with an iron fist. No. But he stops. Because he now has the authority that has been given to him. I am standing behind him to back him up on what he said. And I can't tell you enough, when you get this, it changes things. It changes how you live and what you do. When it moves from your head to your heart, it's amazing what begins to happen. As you begin to see things from a whole new paradigm that you never saw things from before. Kind of like that caterpillar who all of a sudden became a butterfly. That's a whole new paradigm as he's sitting kind of above the tree versus sitting on a stick on the tree. Same tree, different angle. Same life, new creation. We're an ambassador. Different angle. This is who you are. And we're going to finish up this morning. And let's see if I brought that with me. I hope that I did. Oh yeah, here it is, here it is, here it is. The end of your notes. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to say this together. Because I think it's really important that we sort of proclaim who we are. Because I think, as I said before, as believers, I really think sometimes we get just kind of confused a bit. Because we're sitting kind of in two worlds in a way, right? Like we come on Sunday morning, and we see ourselves as believers and stuff, and then we're thrust into this other world, and we're wondering, we're managers, we're you know, we're bosses, we're employees, we're all these things, we're getting pushed this way, that way, and you know, and I get that. But throughout all of that, we are Christ's ambassador. And we're going to declare together, we're going to read this. There was a little typo in this, so I want to read it for you first. It says this, "I," we put our name, "am not just anything. I am an ambassador of Christ sent by God from," it says "to," but just put heaven in there, "heaven to earth, to bring the ministry, the message and ministry of reconciliation to wherever God places me." And we're going to stand together, and I want us to say this together, because really I think we need to declare who we are. This is who we are, part of who we are. We're so many other things, and we're going to touch on some of those things in the next little while, but this is who we are. So stand with me this morning. Stand, come on, you've been sitting for half an hour or longer, 35 minutes. We're going to read this together. And remember, it doesn't matter exactly where you're at in your life as far as, you know, I still mess up, I don't have my stuff together. That's not the point. The point is God chose you. He has chosen you. And we need to get that into our heads before things in our hearts, before things change in our lives. So let's read it together. And I want you to say your name, okay? So don't say my name. Say, "I, Marcel." Now we're going to say your name, okay? So let's say, well, and I want you to say, don't say it like you kind of, like, how was that? You know, like, "I'm tired because it's Sunday morning and I don't want to really do this and he's making me stand up and say this." Say it, pretend like you mean it, even for my sake. Just pretend you mean it if you don't. Okay, let's say it together. "I, Marcel, am not just anything. I am an ambassador of Christ sent by God from heaven to earth, to bring the message and ministry of reconciliation to wherever God places me." That's who you are. Now I have a question for you. Do you know that? Do you know you're an ambassador? Yeah. Say, yeah. Okay, now the second question, the real question is, do you believe it? Yeah. Do you believe it? You know, we're entering now, as you leave this place here, in a lot of ways, we're entering that place where we're called to be an ambassador to. And it's a wonderful thing. Remember, when those days get tough, that you were not, when you do things you wish you never did, who am I? Remember, it wasn't an election. You're not going to be up for re-election soon. You were chosen by God. And remember, when you step out and you're worried, oh, what's going to happen? I don't know. They might laugh at me. They might mock me. They might do this. I might lose something of importance even in my position. I don't know. Maybe I'll lose it. I don't know. But remember that you don't represent yourself anymore. You represent the interests of the government, the kingdom of God. And as a result, you've been sent on this. You have them standing behind you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you love us, God. And God, I know that this morning, we discovered here this morning that you have called us to a ministry and message of reconciliation, to go and to share the good news that you are alive, Jesus, and that you have reconciled us to yourself. Thank you, God. Thank you. Our sins are no longer held against us, God. Thank you for wiping that slate. God, thank you for giving us your righteousness, as it said at the end of that passage. God, we thank you for that. And God, thank you for the opportunity to get to share that amazing news with other people. And Lord Jesus, I pray my heart's prayer this morning, not only for this congregation, but myself, my family, and for all of us, Lord, that we will take this from our heads, God, and will change and transform into our hearts, that we would begin to see life from a new perspective. That we would begin to see life no longer as a caterpillar, but as a butterfly. The new creation that we are. The old is gone. The new has come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, there. 10:15, you got lots of time to mingle and have fun at the coffee table. Bless you. Have a great week. Thank you.